The Morning Symphony, today's passage comes from John chapter 4. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria, so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is a place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this indeed the Savior of the world." After the 2 days, he departed for Galilee, for Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and at Capernaum there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." The father knew that that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed, and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. Amen. There's so much to unpack from today's chapter, but for today, I have two main takeaways from today's passage. Number one, Jesus comes to us. Jesus needed to go from Jerusalem to Galilee. Entering through Samaria was the shortest way, but Jews often avoided it and would rather go completely out of their way to avoid the Samaritans. They were considered the lowliest group in Babylonia. Think of the immense animosity that Hutus and Tutsis had with each other, Japanese and Koreans from the Korean War, the deep caste system in India with ethnic minority suffering. Similarly, there were deep historical divisions that resulted in the Jews loathing the Samaritans. But despite all of that, Jesus chooses to go through Samaria, not because it was a quicker and shorter route, but because there were people he needed to meet there. One being this Samaritan woman at the well. He comes to her and asks her for a drink. Now, this may not be a big deal with our modern eyes, but in the historical and cultural context, there was a strict rule for rabbis to avoid speaking to women in public, even to their own wives, daughters, and sisters. The disciples marveled that he was talking to her. Yet, Jesus sits down with this woman and converses with her and asks her for a drink. Even she is surprised. She says, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" Jesus crossed cultural divides and came with intention to meet with this woman. Now, perhaps you may have asked a similar question to Jesus before. How is it that you, Jesus, the divine king, come to meet with me, just a mere human? I'm not a celebrity or an influential figure. I'm just an ordinary human. In fact, I'm broken and lacking in so much. Why me? May you be encouraged today, church, that Jesus has come in his incarnational ministry as man to walk amongst us, to come meet with you. There is no barrier too big or wide that he cannot cross. Romans 8:38 says that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Number two, Jesus sees us for who we are and offers us living water. Verse 13 says, "Everyone who drinks of this water, the physical water, will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman responds and asks him for this water, not realizing it's not a physical one. Jesus proceeds to reveal to the woman that he knows her brokenness, the things that she has been ashamed of, having had five husbands, currently living with a man who is not her husband. Jesus sees her. Yet, instead of being appalled or condemning, he shares about worship. Verse 23, "The hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him." The woman knows the Messiah who is called Christ is coming. Jesus then responds, "I who speak to you am he." This is amazing. Jesus is revealing his identity. He says, "I am the Messiah. I am the living water. Drink of me and you will never be thirsty again." I love this about Jesus. He could have gone to the richest ruler, the most influential families, the highest ranking rabbis, people with status and power to reveal his identity and to offer up himself. But instead, he chooses to meet a lowly, ostracized woman with no name, that we don't even know her name. She had nothing to show for. And instead of looking past her or casting her away, he offers himself up to her. In fact, especially due to cultural customs, there is a level of intimacy being shared here with the water and the well. Think of the intimacy of tying someone's necktie, for example. It's a beautiful and significant moment that encourages us today that we too, a broken and contrite people, are offered the same invitation to drink of the living water. So here are our application steps. Number one, With that, let's accept that invitation to drink of the living water, believe in him, worship him in spirit and in truth. Number two, leave your old one behind. To drink of the living water, we need to leave our old jar behind. Verse 28 says, "So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town." Now, I'm not saying to not physically drink water, but what does that jar represent to you? What have you been drinking and filling yourself up with? Perhaps it is binging entertainment, food, games, social media. Maybe it's overworking and filling up your schedule to the brim, or climbing for success in the hope that getting that promotion or job will finally bring you the stability that you've been longing for, or that relationship that you've been wanting. Whatever that jar is for you, let's leave it behind so that we can drink of the true living water, the one that will truly satiate our soul. And lastly, go share. The woman left her jar behind to go into the town to share with them. "Come, see the Christ," she said. "He knew everything about me and he offered me life." So the Samaritans came to Jesus and asked him to stay with them. He stayed with them for 2 days, ministering to them. Verse 39 and 41 says, "Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony, and many more believed because of his word." They came because of her invitation, but then came to believe as they themselves had heard from Jesus. This is an amazing story. This too can be our story. Go and share of what Christ has done. Invite your friends, your colleagues, your professors, invite them out to Alpha, Microchurch, Sunday service. Go and say, "Come and see. Come and see. Taste and drink of the living water." Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are our living water. You are the well that never runs dry. Help us to yearn for you just like the deer pants for the water. Lord, forgive us for the ways that we drink up of this world and neglect your spirit. I pray that you would lead us back to you today and that you would help us to go and share of what you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.